the Fellowship of the Spirit conferences are dedicated to carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous as set forth in the book Alcoholics Anonymous to both alcoholics and to those who are either members or those who are members of alcoholic families as well, or those who are in an emotional relationship with alcoholics. We meet to encourage each other to continue to work the program of recovery found in the Big Book and to offer concrete examples of success in our lives so that others will be inspired to incorporate this program of recovery into their own lives so that and carry this message of recovery back into their own communities. Currently, many of these conferences are held across the country, and a lot of them have been canceled or postponed as we endure this global crisis. It is our hope that this weekend will serve as a means to bring us together in unity so that we may go forth in brotherly and harmonious action, taking with us the memory of each other and the shared experience to come. Starting tomorrow morning, we will have workshop panels that will take us through the steps out of the Big Book. We invite you to open yourself up to having a new experience throughout the weekend and encourage you to participate by either asking questions or sharing your experience if there is time when our speakers finish. We will open this conference with 3 minutes of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And now I've asked Charlotte to read the 12 steps.
Charlotte, alcoholic. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Charlotte. And I've asked Brad to read the 12 traditions.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brad Tullum, a recovered alcoholic. These are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Brad. The Fellowship of the Spirit in New York first met in 1998 in Queens, in the neighborhood known as Corona. When the committee reached out to Don P. to ask him how they should run the conference, Don simply replied, "Just ask God." FATSA NY historically has been run as 2 to 3 speakers who facilitate all the step panels, accompanied by other AA speakers and an Al-Anon speaker. The conference has been somewhat defunct for the last 3 years, and the committee that worked to bring this conference together decided to take on the challenge of setting it up closer to the way it was done in the original conference in Colorado. Our hope is that all who come and join us in fellowship this weekend may be able to feel the spirit that guided these conferences into existence in the first place. Fortunate enough for all of us, our opening meeting tonight is a 3-speaker panel consisting of the founders that are still with us. All 3 of them have touched my heart and life in a deep and meaningful way, and I am overjoyed that they are all here to share some of the history of the Fellowship of the Spirit Conference with us. And now I will turn the meeting over to Gary from Indianapolis, Indiana, and Mickey and Marie from Denver, Colorado.
My name's Mickey. I'm an alcoholic. The way this got started was we only had a 1,500 person state convention in Colorado to really bring people together. And we wanted something that was more intimate. And so we discussed it amongst ourselves. And then we talked to Don P. And then we had also discussed this in Indianapolis with Gary and Mike L. and some other folks, and Marie. And we sat on the floor of Gary and Julie's double wide and started to discuss this thing. And we came up with some pretty good plans, some of which never materialized. And we started this little conference, And the idea was, let's go up in the mountains. At least we were going to have it as an on an Indiana side and a Colorado side and alternate. And the first place we went was Breckenridge, Colorado. And so it was called, the first conference in 1993 was called the Breckenridge Conference. And I was, as I was mentioning earlier, I was 19 years old when we started that conference. I mean, I was 19 years sober. I was 100 years old. But anyway, I was 19 years sober and I'm 46 years sober now. So it's been a long time. But, you know, from tiny acorns, mighty oaks grow. What a surprise happened in this thing. I never expected it. And we tried to get all of our brains together to pull this off. Gary, would you like to mention anything about getting it launched over in Indiana?
I was thinking, I'm Gary, I'm an alcoholic. I was remembering, I think, when we were talking at the trailer that we were going to have one year we were going to hold it in Colorado and the other year we were going to hold it in Indiana. So when we tried to hold it in Indiana, we got maybe 35 people to show up. They all wanted to go to the mountains. I was thinking as you were talking there, the first one in Breckenridge, though, I got up to talk it, and Marie was just running around doing everything like that. And I thought, and I think I mentioned that you notice here, Mickey's getting all the glory of this, and Marie's doing all the work. And she got an ovation.
It's still that way.
Okay, I'm out. I'm going to tap out here.
So that was it. I attended. I think I spoke at the first one with Dawn and Bob and I can't think of her name, but from California. But it was interesting. And I remember that Don brought a friend of his from Oklahoma. Mickey, you might remember his name because his wife had just died the Monday before the convention started. And he did the third step workshop. And it was probably one of the most powerful third step workshops I've ever attended. I still think about it and still think about him. Because he was giving it all to God at the time. And so I have a ton of memories around FOTS, and it's worked well for me. Thinking today for, I got some wonderful notes from friends around Mountain Company, calls and emails and texts and that today. And I think I'm a little surprised about that because I've been kind of holed up here because of the virus. And that, and haven't been doing much, but I think all of this kind of started for me through FOTS and what we did there. And I think it was the right thing to do. It's kind of taking me off past where we're going here. I'm going to go ahead and pass to Marie. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. When we got into the program and we got in at the same time, Gary and Julie were our mentors, not sponsors necessarily, but Don Pritz, and we followed them around to the national or the, what was it? The international. And, It was really an experience, but like Mickey said, we wanted something a little bit smaller. And when we started talking about this, Al-Anon and AA were really together. They're obviously not the same program. There's a difference between Al-Anonism and alcoholism. We have the same tools to recover, but there's a wonderful symbiosis between the two. And at that time, it had begun to fall off and become an adversarial relationship between AA and Al-Anon. And for my part, I wanted that fellowship back again. And so when you guys were talking about making this conference, I really saw a wonderful opportunity for Al-Anon and AA to cooperate again. And so we were kind of going over what kinds of things, and we had some wonderful people who came to the first meetings to develop this, to lay down what we wanted to do. And that was one of the things we were really committed to, was that we wanted this to be like a family reunion, not just an AA meeting conference, but a real family coming together in recovery conference. And so I was not the driving force, even though I was running around, Gary, like you said, but I was not necessarily the driving force. We had wonderful, wonderful people who, and in Al-Anon, I won't go into the politics of it, but we're not allowed to use the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous as our main text. And when I got together with some of the Al-Anons that were developing this, we were all people who had, we were Al-Anons who had worked our program out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so in coordination with these other Al-Anons, we had decided that since this was not going to be an official Al-Anon meeting, we were totally free to use the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous as our recovery tool. And I know we're skipping around a bunch, but the very first year, I remember Juanita and I decided to have a meeting, which we didn't, we weren't prepared for the fallout, but it was about how an Al-Anon can use the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous for their recovery. And there were tears and there was yelling and there was darn near guns pulled out because there are two camps in Al-Anon. And the recovery that we had gotten and continue to get in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is undeniable. But there are many Al-Anons who are very intimidated by that. And I believe it has to do somewhat with that conflicting, you know, the AA and Al-Anon becoming kind of not enemies necessarily, but really in separate camps. So we had to fight tooth and nail to get the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon recovery in the Big Book to be a central point in Fellowship of the Spirit. I'm going to let Mickey talk for a minute. I'm going to kind of get back.
So the beginnings of this, we had our people who were going to pull things together and liaise with the hotel. And And so we thought that this was for Colorado. Fellowship of the Spirit was, our Breckenridge Conference was for Colorado. And because it was, because Don Pritz was involved, well, actually, Joe H., can you get back to where you were? Anyway, Joe H. Was going around the country saying, man, you got to come to Colorado. It's the Cannes Film Festival of Alcoholics Anonymous. So he's out pimping, excuse me, carrying the message that way. And so we're, and so what happened was our Colorado conference, people the first year, there were 200 of us, and we had people show up from 25 states. From 25 states, they came to Colorado. And I remember, I mean, so it's like, what's happening? What just happened? And I remember going out on the balcony and taking a break one day. And I was just a break in the conference. And there was a guy out there on the balcony. And he was looking up at the mountains. And I was looking, I didn't know him. I was looking up at the mountains too. And I looked over and he had tears slowly running down his cheeks. And I said, are you okay? And he said, yeah. And I said, would you mind me asking, why are you crying? And he said, I'm crying because there's three of us in Muscatine, Iowa, around our big book. And we're studying the big book and we want to stay sober and grow in this fellowship. And he said, I'm crying because I've never seen so many people work that program and talk about the program out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this like light starts to go off in my head. And what happens too is that we had people come up from Santa Fe and from Louisiana and all these different states, and they were making dinner in their own rooms. And so what happened is we would travel from room to room and share the food. And so this community is being built up, but it's not a community in Colorado. It's a community in the United States. So right from Jump Street, FOTS, what it was, how we got the name was like Breckenridge Conference, and the motto was the Fellowship of the Spirit. And so pretty soon we moved from Breckenridge and we just adopted the name. But what happens is that go into a room and there would be a, like there was a girl from Louisiana, no, a guy from Louisiana sitting next to a girl from New York. And I just passed by them. And she said, now, where did you get that fourth column in the resentment inventory? And lights are going off. And it's like, what's happening here? And Marie mentioned it being a family reunion. And one of the themes and the heart of Fellowship of the Spirit is we're not really looking for buku circuit speakers. God bless, they carry a message, and I'm not saying anything about that. We're not looking for people with very slick delivery. We're looking for people who are trying to live this out of the big book and can be a part of our family and be with us, and we can meet again each year together and celebrate the fact that for the past year, we've supported each other. You know what I'm saying? And we care for each other. And so the Fellowship of the Spirit, that's the Fellowship of the Spirit. That's the spirit of this. Just as long as it's in your heart and you'll talk about it, work it out of the book, share vulnerably and tell the truth, man, we've got something going on. And so the conference grew from those roots. I mean, we shifted to other places in the mountains. We even got kicked out of one of the resorts. Yes. I mean, we're alcoholics, right? It wasn't for drinking. I think we started a bonfire in the parking lot, yeah. And they didn't think that was too cool. So, Gary, I'll kick it back to you.
Oh, thank you. Our friend Tom kicked up. It was Earl Husband, whose wife had died the Monday before we started that, and he did that third-step workshop, and it was wonderful.
and talking about somebody who is well rooted in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. I think over the years, I guess the biggest thing I remember from that first one, though, was eating etouffee. That's that was right. brought up in Lafayette. Never go back. I think from our conversation in the trailer, are we out of time?
Oh, no.
No. Okay.
We've got the better part of a half an hour, Gary.
Okay. I don't. I'm still flustered from dealing, trying to get myself hooked up to Zoom. And yeah. That seems to be working fine now. I think our experience with thoughts has touched people all around the world at this point. Every time I turn around, there's a new thought showing up somewhere in some place of that. And I've spoken around at a few of them. And as a result of that, we've touched people in a lot of places. And hopefully we've gotten more people involved in the big book. I really can't think of anything else I've got about this subject and that. I was thinking earlier this afternoon that beginning where I came from and that, and got out of a nut house at that 25 years old and had been in there for 15 weeks, I think it was. And not really knowing what I was going to do when I got out. And I had three things happen to me right away. I thought I was sure. I had been there. I learned I was an alcoholic there. And I learned why. And some of that hadn't changed. You know, if when I honestly want to, I can't stop drinking entirely. Or if when drinking, I can't control how much I take. And I kind of left there with that. And I knew I left... got on the bus and I got into Cheyenne 2 or 3 in the morning. And I was going to walk up to Julie's parents' house. That's where Julie, my wife and kids were. And there was a cop at the door, a detective that I've known for a long time. And he said, "You need a ride?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You going up to the Bailey's house?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know, Gary," he says, "there's some people that just really shouldn't drink." And I said, "So you know where I've been?" And he says, "Gary, I've known where you've been since you were 16 years old." And I like to tell that story because I haven't seen that man since. But I think many of us had some kind of, remember the Eskimo story, Mickey, that had somebody that was watching over us and that took care of us with that. And from that point, a number of things happened for me. I managed to find my way through, got a 4-year degree from the University of Wyoming in 3 years. And I'm going to shut up right after this, I think. I remember I was going to an AA meeting in Laramie, and maybe on a big night we'd have 8 or 9 people at that. And but it was great if a traveling salesman was coming through town and came to a meeting, because we didn't have to listen to each other, and we could listen to that. And after that meeting, he came up to me and asked me how old I was, and I told him I was 25. And he said, "How long you been sober?" And I said, "You know, 6 months." He said, "Wow," he says, "you got a shot at making it to 50 years sobriety." And that didn't mean anything at that point. It didn't mean a thing to me. But after I got up to around 48, 49 years, it got a lot more important to me. And so now I'm well over that and around and enjoy listening to people and enjoy hearing from everybody, a lot of the people I've met. And I still think the greatest thing that ever happened to me was shortly after we had moved to Denver from Laramie in AA, and I got involved in the Denver Young People's groups and that. I met you, and we met Don, and we met Ernie and the whole gang. And somewhere in there, I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous. and I'm still very much in love with it, and I'm probably going to go away that way with it. So I'm done for the night. Mickey.
Thanks, Barry. I will tell you some of the things that have occurred with Fellowship of the Spirit and the unity between AA and Al-Anon has brought a lot of, well, I'll go from where it started. We, of course, have Al-Anon meetings at Fellowship of the Spirit, and we welcomed the AAs, and because there were no other meetings planned during the Al-Anon meetings at that point, a lot of AAs would come to their first Al-Anon meeting. And they were, the ones that I talked to were kind of amazed because they had never experienced the Al-Anon program. And they had a preconceived idea that we were in the room just talking about our alcoholics. And when they got into the rooms, maybe because they were curious, they found out that we actually work the program also, and that we come at the program from just a slightly different angle. And what happened in Colorado, I don't know about the rest of the United States, but what happened in Colorado was that we had a huge number of double winners, which is our term for, you know, somebody working both AA and Al-Anon. And they have brought a vitality to the Al-Anon meetings because, in all honesty, Al-Anon there's a danger in Al-Anon to lose the passion for working the program. And because of the double winners, and one of my meetings, I think probably a third of the people in the meeting are double winners. There's a passion that's been brought back to the meetings, and then another thing, at Fellowship of the Spirit, the Al-Anons have been included in all of the workshops, on the board, on the committee, and in the schedule. And one of the circuit speakers who came one year, I don't know exactly how long into it, maybe 5-6 years into from the first Fellowship of the Spirit. And they came and they were just blown away by the respect that the AAs showed the Al-Anons. And I think that's kind of that is part of Fellowship of the Spirit, because the fellowship is not just AA. The fellowship is,
it's a family.
It's a family thing, family recovery. And Mickey even went to his first Al-Anon meeting at Fellowship of the Spirit, still talks about it. You want to talk about something?
Yeah, I went to that Al-Anon meeting, and there was a lady in there who said something that I've never forgotten. She said, "It's better to bear the pain of waiting for God than to bear the pain of knowing you didn't." And I was like, okay, that goes in the file folder. I want to talk about the structure of Fellowship of the Spirit. So we're alcoholics and we're strong personalities. And so we want to have our deal go on the table. Hi, Julie. We want to have our view of this thing happen. So my initial view of fellowship of the conference was we'd have a few speakers. We'd have plenty of time for people to walk around, spend time with their families, ride horseback, whatever. And, you know, just really enjoy the mountains. And then Don said, I think we ought to have step workshops. And of course, in my brilliance, I fought against it. Anyway, turns out that Don was right. again. Now you need to know that I ran against Don for what's the top spot to be the state, whatever.
State something.
Yeah, and lost. Okay, so this is my second defeat at the hands of Don Pritz. But what a beautiful thing that we have this. Now we have this conference that you can't turn around before another meeting starts. But it's to our benefit to have this. It's now there's a mysterious aspect to Fellowship of the Spirit Colorado that I've never been able to articulate. I'll give you an example. I sponsored a guy, 9 years sober. He worked out of the book. He was really on top of things. And it was his first time. He came out of the South. And it was his first time to be at Fellowship of the Spirit in Colorado. And he went to a couple of meetings, and he grabbed me by the arm, and he said, Mickey, I got to go back through the steps. I got to start my program again. So we call that the miracle on the mountain. Something about this conference encourages people to dig down deeper, be more vulnerable, drop the horseshit, and really get in the middle of this thing instead of standing on the periphery. Well, for us, this is a joy. You're going to be hearing from Don C. after we finish our time here.
We can open it up for questions.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. If you have a question about the conference or about the history, if you would like to let us know.
Margaret Y.
I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Margaret.
It's really great to be here. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say hi to everybody and say hi, especially to Mickey and Marie.
Hi.
The last time I saw you, I think, was shortly after my last Fellowship of the Spirit, I guess 2 years ago now. And I'm just, this is one of like the miracles of what's going on now, is that I get to, and I could scroll through and see all my friends from Denver. And I just really, you know, love your share. And yeah.
Thank you, Martin. It's good to see you. Yeah. God bless you. Anyone else?
Duke H.
Yeah, my name is Duke, Lafayette, Louisiana, a grateful member of Al-Anon Family Groups. What was the, perhaps the biggest piece of the puzzle putting all this together? Were there points where you had doubts about what you were doing, or did you feel a sense of assurance from the beginning that you were on the right track? How did all that play out?
We were basically hanging on a very slim rope over the Grand Canyon and saying, what's going to happen here? But there was a desire. Okay, quite honestly, I have a desire to have alcoholism discussed in a broader range than ethyl alcohol. Because my problems after I stopped drinking were I was being eaten alive by the bedevilments on page 52. And I had a loaded gun in my top drawer for the first 3 years I was sober. The idea being that if this thing doesn't work, I'm putting my brains on the wall. It was serious. It was serious as a heart attack. And so I had heard so much of people from the jump street. Now, we're competitive people. We're human and we're alcoholic. So it's like we get us into the program and it's like I'd go off and try to talk about my feelings in a meeting at 1311 York Street where I got sober. And I would get muzzled. That was called, what did they call it? Psychobabble.
Psychobabble.
And so I'm sitting there with a taste in my mouth to kill myself. And I'm going like, what anonymous do I go to? Where do I get help? And then I found some people who would talk to me in my soul. And because it turns out, Don used to have this expression. He said he was rubber-minded. Meaning he could take any thought that hit his head, massage it around, and come up with a destructive notion. So if you're going to talk to my head, both of us might die. But if you're going to talk to my heart, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So that's the approach that I take in sponsorship. That's the approach I have with my sponsor. And I hope that answers your question. we steamed ahead. We were seated backwards on that horse more than we were seated forward. And God took over, but that's the point, isn't it? God took over and grew this thing. And now we have Fellowship of the Spirit, Moscow, Dublin, Ukraine. I got to Skype with the people in Johannesburg, South Africa. My own sponsor, Mike, is now giving a talk in Australia from Kentucky.
Okay, another thing, I think another thing you were asking is, have there been mountains to climb in this process? And we wanted, I think it was after the first year, we wanted it to stay the same spirit that it started with. And so we talked to the people in one of the conferences that had been going for 15 years, I believe. And we said, what is the secret of keeping your conference the same year after year? And they said, you get a board of people who are like-minded and who have the same spirit of what this thing is about. And so we said, okay. And so we pulled together all the people that were willing and to start a board so that we would have both the committee and the board, and the board would keep it on track. The committee would plan that next year's FOTS. And it was a bloodbath. It was, nobody wanted anything quite that organized. And there was a lot of tears and a lot of bad feelings. And it was very difficult.
And I want to say something.
Yeah.
What we got from this other conference was, if you're going to keep this conference not the same in terms of personnel or all the rest of that, if you're going to keep this thing, you need to pass it from heart to heart. You need to find people who really buy into the Fellowship of the Spirit's notions to keep good parenthood and pass it, because the board's function, the committee runs it this year, the board negotiates with the hotel and keeps this thing going year to year and provides continuity. But what we're looking for, consistent with what I said earlier, we're looking for people who talk from the heart, work it out of the book, and it's contagious. And it's worked.
So there have been mountains, there have been tears, there have been many things that have challenged Fellowship of the Spirit over the years, but in all, it has kept the same spirit of vulnerability, honesty, working out of the big book, a real family feel. And so, you know, when somebody outside of the area is looking for somebody to sponsor them or you know, to sponsor somebody else, they get onto the list that goes all over the United States and says, do you know anybody there? It is a family. It's like a real huge extended family, which is really what AA and Al-Anon should be in the first place.
Thank you, Duke.
Okay, we got time for one more quick question. We're going to take it from Bob.
Hey, my name's Bob. I'm an alcoholic. And I don't really have a question. I wanted to say thank you to the founders of the original Fellowship of the Spirit, because back in 2015 that's when my journey began, and I finally got sober and worked this process as it's laid out in the big book. And it was a miracle. And I met Mickey and Marie, and it's really so good to see you. And I'm just blown away. Thank you for having us. And I know LJ has a question.
Yeah, so I wanted to thank Gary and Mickey and Marie for being here. Mickey and Marie, it is so good to see you. I was so looking forward to coming up to Maine and welcoming you to New England. But as we know, that didn't turn out that way. my question is, you know, I'm a huge fan of FOTS. That's where I began. My first FOTS was I walked into the FOTS in Maine for just one day, and I was kicking myself, why didn't I come all weekend? And somebody said, they're all over the country, just find a different one. And that's how I found Colorado. I said, well, if I'm going to the original one. But it was, I call them the people with the calm eyes after I had been there for that day. And, you know, Bill talks about there was something about Ebby's eyes in his story. So it really, really hit me. And I always cry when I'm at FOTS. And Mickey, when you were talking about it, just being a family, you know, having been to three of them now, it is a family and you can feel it when you walk in. But my question was for Marie. Marie, it's my understanding that the original was 6 AAs and 4 Al-Anons. You were outnumbered. did the Al-Anons ever get anything they wanted that the AA said no to?
We just have to be a little louder. And, you know, it's character building to be in the minority, honestly. And the AAs that we have to deal with, I mean, I have to say, Gary and Don and Mickey were the most loving, inclusive people. And then everybody who has been brought into the fellowship have this spirit of love. And I've never, ever felt out of the circle, you know. I understand them. I don't truly understand alcoholism because I'm not an alcoholic. But the beauty of Fellowship of the Spirit is that we are included. We are included in the most profound way and loved. And so, you know, being in the minority is, it's okay. Not bad.
So we know that the conferences are not like state conventions, and so we are autonomous, okay? So there was a guy who was drifting across the country from New York, and he came in to just be with us. And when he found out that we included Al-Anons on our board, he was outraged, and he, you know, went like explosive. So much so that at the dance that night, I'm out dancing with my wife, and this guy is like a yap dog right in the middle of us saying, you can't do that. I thought he was going to call the FBI, for God's sake. We do have some things, but we live out of the big book. And in many cases, I really need to say that we reintroduce, that is all of us, in our cabins, in the main auditoriums, we reintroduce the big book to the people who come. And it's strictly big book. It's not strictly big book like we'll beat you with a stick or be a Nazi about it. It's not about that. This is a family conference, but it's about a love affair with the book. And that's what attracts people. And I, you know, like we were just talking to people from Maine, we've got people all over the place. And this is our family. We belong to each other. We support each other. And I just want to, in total amazement for what you've done, Devin, I want to just thank you and God for collaborating on pulling this major conference deal off. So, for the time that we've gotten with you guys and the times that we look forward to being with you, we love you.
Thanks, guys. Let's give it up for Gary, Mickey, and Marie. Thank you so much. By group conscience, the Fellowship of the Spirit in New York does not close each meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Instead, we encourage that this whole conference be treated with an attitude of continuous prayer, and we will then say the Lord's Prayer together at the close of this conference Sunday evening. Please help me close this meeting by joining in a moment of silence. Let us share our spiritual experience and strengths with each other so that we can grow together in greater understanding and love.